The Theosophical Society in America presents a panel discussion at its 101st Annual Convention Summer School entitled Exploring New Directions with Bing Escudero, Maria Parison, and Roger Gem.
As we came here and planned for this, we thought that we wouldn't plan too much. This would be more of a spontaneous thing. And one of the spontaneous things is that since Roger is the one who has written something down, then the two of us, we thought that we'd open up with Roger.
Well, actually, I was sharing with Maria and Bing a thought that came to me as I was preparing to share with you people this morning. And I jotted the thought down because it was something I wanted to share. I was thinking of an Olympic marathon race where the torch is passed from runner to runner. And the founders and historic theosophists have carried this torch through the first 100-year cycle. And now the torch is lit, burning brightly. And we are running in place, ready to receive this torch and carry it the next 100 years. And this image is so powerful and full of meaning. I thought I wanted to share that this morning. Are we really up to this challenge? And what will be our race and what will be our strategy? There are really so many ideas. It's not so much that we want to come up with a list of things to do, but because we are in this time that's really so pressing, and the world needs what we have so badly, we need to prioritize and look and see what the essence of what we must do, rather than just come up with a list of things to do.
I think the first thing that comes to my mind, and I haven't heard this before, but I think it's beautiful, is that we need to consider perhaps first who the runner is. Not necessarily where he's going, but who he is, what makes him capable of bearing the torch, and what is the torch that he bears.
I see the torch as the wisdom teaching, the light that we need to carry. It's just a powerful symbol that came to mind.
I think that's a very nice symbol, because if the leaders are those who have held the torch, in some way, every member is a torch himself or herself. So if the leader holds a torch and passes it to another, since each and every one of us also is a torch in himself or herself, then we would have two torches. So here's one, I pass it on to you, or you pass it to me. But each of us is a torch, so we would have two torches. And maybe when you have two torches, then what they say now, you have a backup system. Then it should succeed and probably never ever fail. And in a way, we are the runner, we are the torch, we are the flame. And the thing maybe is for us to come together. That is why I have felt, now that we have Dorothy as our national president, all of us must now come together and rally behind her. We must put all our differences behind us. And if we have differences, let us look for unities. So if we have disagreements, let us look for the areas where we can agree with each other. And once we have found that, then we can begin with that. If we have disagreements, it is probably because we have too many ideas and there are no ideals that guide the ideas. So when we have differences of ideas, let us look for the ideals that will unite the ideas together. And the nice thing is that ideas come from outside, but the ideals are inside us. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is to tap it within us. I think if we do this, and there is great opportunity for this, then all of us can come together and make the unity of our society a reality, not only in the organization, but in the lives that we live outside there in the field where the real work must take place. Yeah.
I think one thing we all share is the urgency of the moment. We are at a time when the world at large is waiting to hear more about the esoteric doctrine. There's the atmospheric conditions are perfect for theosophy to flourish in the world. We have an organization in place ready to interface with the world out there. And who else but the Theosophical Society can really impact the world at large with this wisdom teaching? Everybody is attempting to do it, and sometimes we look down our nose at their attempts and say, well, they're not doing such a good job of it. But I think we need to be there in the front ranks and sharing the essence of the Theosophical teaching with the world. It's no longer a hidden teaching. And I think the time is right with Shirley MacLaine's movie, and we all know that everybody's looking for more information. And we have this information, and we have it already in forms, formats that can be shared. We just need to get our act together and do it. I think we're all in agreement in that.
I agree, but I don't think that it seems to me that our primary function may not be to be a disseminator of information. And I know that's not what you meant completely,
but it
seems to me that there are hundreds, perhaps thousands of groups throughout the world who are doing wonderful work. They're not calling it the ancient wisdom tradition. Perhaps they don't speak in the same language we do, but they're helping to bring about what's necessary now, and that's a fundamental transformation in the human being. They're using techniques, encouraging techniques that maybe we wouldn't agree with, that perhaps we wouldn't use, but they're helping people to come into touch with something deeper inside themselves. And with all the ancient wisdom teachings that we have, I don't believe myself that we are helping in that effort. I don't think we're addressing the whole human being. And because I feel as though transformation is what we're all about, and not just, and this is one of the things that bothers me about thinking in terms of ideals, because it's so easy to form an idea about yourself that you think is an ideal, and all you do for your whole life is to change your ideas about yourself. You want to become more virtuous, more intelligent, more loving, more all of this, and your whole life is spent changing the content of your consciousness without ever really making a leap in perception. Your vision never becomes any wider. And this is what bothers me about our teachings, is because people feel as though, because they have a kind of a handle on some theosophical ideas, that somehow their life has become wider, when in essence it hasn't. They're running in place.
Mm-hmm. I think basically the teaching has inherent within it the alchemical formula to bring about this transformative process. But I think I agree with you. Many times we skip over the surface, and it's not the intellectualization, it's not the reading and studying and all of this that really makes the change. It's the living experience that makes the change. It's the experience of the insight in our everyday world. So that's why I feel that each person's experience is sacred. And it's not for us to say, well, this person is not far along on the path. This person is using all of his capacity to experience life in the way this person needs to in order to bring about the insight. So the experience is very important. And that's why I feel that it's important also that we, as we design ways to interface with others, we design into that an experiential mode instead of standing at the lecture platform and talking about my experience, it would be better if, after having an experience, I gather a few people around and say, let's try this. This has been my experience. Let's see what it does for you. And when we do something together, and we come together and share an experience that's very meaningful and has something to do with touching us at the place where we really live, then we all come away with a kind of enthusiasm that is very hard to fabricate. It's a natural high. And this kind of thing, I feel, is more important in our theosophical work.
Mm-hmm. I think Maria has brought up a very important point here, in that there is a big difference between an ideal or a virtue and an idea about an ideal and an idea about a virtue. So the reality is that there is a virtuous spiritual divine nature within us. But the human mind creates an idea of what this is. And usually, the ideas run into conflict with each other. And it is these differences of ideas that creates differences of personalities. Now, we always say that the personality must be transcended, must be overcome, and we must go beyond it. But in a way, as long as we are in the physical plane, we need the physical body to express the spirituality of the will in the physical plane. As long as we have an astral or emotional body, then it will need the virtuous spiritual nature of the intuition. As long as we have a lower mental or mental body, then it will need the ideals of the higher mental nature. And the transcendence of the personality is not so much as, well, that personality is bad, you know, we should get rid of it. It may be that what is necessary is for the personality to be a complete reflection of the higher nature. As they would say in computer language, the personality must be transparent to the higher nature. If this personality prevents the ideals and the virtues and the spiritual will from manifesting at the personality level, this personality will have personality problems. Since our lodges and study centers, up to our headquarters, is made up of personalities who are workers, when this personality prevents the ideals and the virtues from manifesting, this personality having problems will create problems among personalities. And so it might be that the solution is not organizational. The solution is finally individual. Finally, the individual, the worker, the theosophist, the member, must work out his personality so that the virtuous spiritual nature may finally express itself. And maybe this is our work. Earlier we were talking that as we try to work with at the individual level, maybe the real fundamental unit of humanity, since we are serving humanity, is probably not the individual. It might be that the real fundamental unit of humanity is the family. As an individual, it is easy to be brotherly. You know, you go up a mountain or maybe under a tree and meditate and feel so wonderful and experience brotherhood. But the moment there is a family, whether related, you know, in a blood way or not, or the family of humanity or a social unit, then it's hard to be brotherly when somebody steps on your toes or steps on your head. So it might be that as we try to spread theosophy, it may have to be spread maybe at the family level rather than at the individual level. We tend to promote theosophy at the individual level, like, you know, you'll be perfect, you'll reach nirvana and all that. But it might be that if we are working for humanity, humanity is the larger family, and the smallest unit of humanity as a family is the family, is the family itself. And this family, in a way, is reflected at the lodge, at the study,
I was just
at
going
the study
to
center.
Say, would it be a good analogy then to take the lodge and study center as being the family unit of our larger family? And I think that's what you're alluding to.
And so, let us dream our dreams, you know, to make the society what we would like it to be. And it is easy to dream of physical things, you know, a nice meeting place, you know, maybe a computer for the lodge, you know, and all the facilities that we need. But like you mentioned earlier, the quality of our relationships probably is just as important. How brotherly we are to each other, how we get along with each other. There can be nice facilities of the branch and study centers, but if the members do not relate to each other, like Dorothy said, with love, with peace, with understanding, with compassion, with tolerance, with kindness, this is probably even the essence of theosophy itself. Because if we remove this, there cannot be brotherhood. Not even can there be the unity of all religions without love, peace, understanding, compassion, which are the virtues. Without them, even the religions cannot be united. When we come to the powers latent in man, what are the powers to awaken them? Is it clairvoyance, clairaudience, levitation? It cannot be even that. It is to awaken brotherhood, peace, understanding, compassion, tolerance, kindness. These are the spiritual qualities that we awaken within ourselves. And our society and the work we do is to create the environment where as we work together, we can awaken these spiritual qualities. So we serve the society, but really we serve humanity through the theosophical society.
I hear what you're saying and I agree with every bit of it, but I feel as though we need, almost as though I need to think in more fundamental terms. It seems to me that we have to actually believe that the energy that we create together, the energy that comes into being when a group like the Theosophical Society meets, that energy can help in the transformation of individuals, and that in this particular age, transformation or regeneration, as Radha seems to like to call it, is not necessarily going to come about quickly enough with individuals working alone. That we need a group energy that's coherent, that has an integrity about it, that is so full that we can't help but grow when we're in it. It's that kind of energy, I think, that we need to be able to generate and believe in and count on in our groups. That's the kind of energy that will bring people back when they have all kinds of extraneous things, perhaps less important to regeneration, that are calling for their attention. Mm-hmm. So that if we can look at this from an energetic perspective, and while I like to think in terms of brotherhood and peace and love and honesty and all of that, and it's all a component of what we're talking about, if we can help each other to become more sensitive to the quality of the energy involved in our groups, mm-hmm. then we'll be responding at maybe a more primitive level, but a level that feeds in immediately to the whole of the group.
With that in mind, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Maria, because I feel that the organization is only as strong as its weakest link. And if our theosophical organization is really going to impact society at large, we can only do it if our organization is together as one unit. And we can only be one unit if we close the gap that exists now between the headquarters and the local branch. I really feel that pulling the organization, tightening up the organization, or providing the resource persons necessary to revitalize those areas. It's like when we take care of our body. When there's an area that needs attention, we channel energy to that area because it's necessary for healing. We need a strengthened vehicle with which to impact the society at large. I really feel that the place where the Theosophical Society meets the world, where it interfaces with the people in the world who will receive the benefit of our organization being in the world, That place is at the level of the individual and where the individual meets other people. We interface the world not as a totality, but we interface with the world as individuals. The energy that we provide, whether it be through the headquarters or through our lodge or individually at work, at play, or whatever, it's the organization doesn't do something, individuals do it. So we must try with all of our might to empower the individuals to carry the torch. I really feel that the work that lies ahead is to create the continuous channel from headquarters to the local branches and back to headquarters. The energy must flow fluently. There must be a sense of one unit, like the heart beating blood that goes to the extremities and back, revitalizing, constantly revitalizing. I think to revitalize our organism is perhaps the most urgent new direction that we must take.
So the the fundamental question, therefore, is where do you get this energy and how do we tap this energy?
We have this energy, we just need to share it.
Yes, in fact, this is what we were discussing, that this energy which we are looking for is within us. And I just feel that the real source of this energy is in the realm of the world of ideals. When a person awakens the ideals of theosophy within him and tries to live it, in fact we say try at the personality level, the reality is already there.
You will it.
So when a person works with an ideal, this is a person who is almost indomitable in their spirit. And we do not say the ideal is there and we are here. We say that at the personality level. Because at the level of reality, our higher nature, spiritual nature, is the embodiment of the divine spiritual ideal. And so when we tap this within ourselves and awaken it within ourselves, then it becomes the source of energy in the work that we are doing. You mentioned that finally it goes to the individual level. But really, when we do our work, the work is not individual. The work is a family of workers working together. I like to use the word family of workers, because when you speak of brotherhood, in a way it reflects the family. So in a way we are like a theosophical family at the study center level, at the branch level, and all the different levels. And so when we awaken this dream of the reality of the spiritual nature within us, then we are in touch with the source of the energy that we are all trying to express.
Not to put down the family idea, Bing, because I really agree that the ideal of working together is a very powerful thing. But the work, even working together, coming together, we bring our individuality, we bring the essence of our being. And if we are living the theosophical principles, we have the awareness and the insight and the enthusiasm and the power to bring to the work. The work is really essentially individual, even if we work as a family.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's very difficult to... We know that we have an intense kind of work to be done as individuals. And people who are only involved in the theosophical process in a superficial way are bound to drift away eventually. They may project their feelings of discomfort or unhappiness onto the group, but somehow they're going to move off. And I don't think there's much we can do about that. But we must be willing, we must be able to reach the people who are ready to make a fundamental change in their way of life.
Right.
Whether those people happen to be in the community, in prisons, or wherever, we have to be able to reach them in an effective way.
So
the organization comes in.
I am convinced that there are hundreds and thousands of people in that condition in the world mm-hmm. who are really, at this point, ready to make a fundamental change. They just don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. And I think that this organization And it's no accident that we have been developing for the past 100 years to be in place now, to have an effect on the world. We need to accept that challenge. Mm-hmm.
There is a very fine point here that might be clarified. The realization of our philosophical search or endeavor is individual. No one can realize for another, and so that is individual. But to whatever level of realization an individual comes to, the implementation of that realization is not individual. It is a group effort. Mm-hmm. And this is the point I'm sure we all see.
Yeah. Okay.
So no matter how self-realized a person is, the moment he must carry it out into the world, then it is a group effort. We work together. And anyway, we do not have to be all at the same level of realization, because then if we are at different levels of realization, then this spectrum of the work that we can touch out into the world will reach at all levels.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that, Bing. Too many of us sit around thinking, well, I think until I read one more book, I'm not quite ready. Maybe next month I'll be ready to start doing some theosophical work, but right now I'm just an unfinished product. Anything I do will not be really acceptable. I'm afraid a lot of times we hold ourselves back. But fundamentally, service is the means with which we bring about this regenerative condition, because service is one of the three points of the process. Without the service aspect, without the karma yoga, the process is not finished, it's not completed. So in order to close the cycle, we need to engage in the service of humanity. So we fool ourselves when we think, well, when I'm ready, I'll do the work. We'll never be ready if we're not doing the work.
Sometimes in trying to do the work, sometimes there is a tendency to wait for some high-sounding title to be attached to the work we're doing. Like, now you're chairman of the board, you know, you can do great things. And this may not be even necessary. Maybe even the Logos, when he wanted to help humanity, didn't say, well, I'm going to send you a new chairman of the board, you know, to carry the work out there. We carry out the work whether there are titles or no titles. And maybe this is where the work can be really much more effective, because it transcends the differences that the human mind creates, the ideas that the human mind has about itself. And also, it is a way of probably containing the human ego or the thought of self. The self likes to feel great when it has nice titles attached to it. And it may be that in the work we do, the selflessness that is involved and the ego that plays a part only to make us realize that all it really does is merely to hold the personality together as an instrument, and that is its only role. But the instrument and the personality in doing its work really is never ever complete without the higher nature that guides it. And this is the work that we do, that we try to help awaken this higher nature, and no one really helps another insofar as that person helps himself or herself.
I think one of the most inspiring messages we have to give is of the possibility that's open before the human being, that possibilities are infinite. And one of the things that people look for when they come into our groups is, who are we? What possibilities do they see in us as individuals and in the group as a whole? Are the groups alive? Is there an energy there that is inspiring, that is building, that's healing? If they don't feel that in the groups, if they find that ideas have crystallized, if they're being required to fit into a certain kind of mold, then they won't stay, because they feel intuitively that the energy there is the energy of death and not rebirth. Mm-hmm. This week, I met another one of our board members in the bookshop, and she was buying a book on creation spirituality. I mentioned this to you earlier. The emphasis has on creation, on work coming spontaneously from us and through us, as you mentioned, in this process of rebirth. And I feel as though as an organization, we don't embody this kind of energy, then there's no way we can draw people to us, because we will not feel which is a rebirthing of the potential of the human being.
I think that's basically what Bing is trying to say. Mm-hmm. He's trying to say that if we don't embody the ideals of our teaching, if we're not really living out in our everyday experience where it shows that we are vitalized because we're in some way growing in a very meaningful way. And when people around us witness this kind of excitement, because the creative energy is very powerful, it's very exciting, and this dynamic exuberance has to show. It shows in your eyes, you're all lit up. And people get excited about that, mm-hmm. and they want to know, they ask you questions about yourself. And then we're starting to share something with people that's very meaningful. We're not just talking about the weather. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of thing that starts things moving. It's not that we can make such a huge difference in the world, but when we make little differences, we're moving the process along. Mm-hmm. And we have to really ask ourselves, I mean, almost on a daily basis, are we part of the problem? Or are we part of the solution?
Both. We are both. We are both. And all of us like to be creative. I would probably say most of us like to be creative. And creativity is a very important quality. And so the question we ask now is, how do we become creative? What is it to be creative? So here is a suggestion. When whatever we do is of a virtuous nature, then it is creative. Sometimes creativity tends to be like, oh, here's an idea, we never thought of that. Oh, it's a new one, oh, that's creative. The idea may be new, maybe original, maybe innovative, but if that idea isn't virtuous, it isn't creative. And so to be creative is to bring forth the virtuous, spiritual, divine nature within us. When we bring that forth in our work, then that work is creative. In fact, without the virtuous, divine, spiritual nature, we may think it is creative, when in fact, it really is destructive. And the nice thing is, we do not have to go outside of us. All we have to do is to tap the forces of creativity, the forces of the virtuous nature. All we have to do is to tap it within us. We do not even need current funds to tap the virtuous nature within us. All of us can tap it within ourselves. And the thing is, this resource is inexhaustible. The current funds are exhaustible, but the virtuous, divine, spiritual nature within us is inexhaustible. And you and I can tap this. And when you tap this, then the work that we do, which we call theosophical, is therefore truly and completely creative.
You know, as you're talking, Bing, I'm thinking of a situation that exists in the world right now, and where spiritual organizations, in their endeavor to do the work that they want to do, feel that it's very necessary to amass a fortune in order to bring about and share their ideals. But oftentimes they get so caught up on the materialization that they forget the ideal, and the ideal gets buried somewhere, and it gets overrun with the emphasis on the material side of things. And on the other hand, there are organizations that are trying to do spiritual work who stay so close to the ideals that they are not able to manifest them in the real world because of the lack of funds and other material things. So there can be two extremes. And what you're saying is, if we can embody the principles in the process of manifestation, then the two are brought together in harmony, and the actualization, the materialization, is a spiritual one rather than a material one. Because we are in the material world, and we have to deal with matter. But if the matter is expressed at the level of the ideal, it's coming from inside, and that's inexhaustible.
Yeah, as we try to relate to the spiritual ideal, I feel also that it is all right to fail. We don't succeed right away. Because the more we fail, although we do not encourage failure, but in some way, the more we fail, the more we are able to relate to those who fail. And if we cannot find that oneness in the spiritual reality, we can at least find that oneness in the failure. And as we understand our failures and the failures of others, then maybe we can also help each other.
And I think that our organization, if we rebuild this body of ours as an organization, and if we rebuild it on the foundation that we've been discussing, then there will be so much force at our disposal, so much physical energy, so much emotional and mental energy, so much that's flowing through us at the intuitional level, that no matter what sort of little failures we have, that will all be compensated for in the long run. Mm-hmm. That we will have abundant energy to complete our work, in whatever direction we choose to move.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful of just work. We need to work together. We need to not get in each other's way. We need to flow as a family and be accepting of other people, even in their limitations, because each one of us is valuable, each in our own way, even if it doesn't meet up to the expectations of some of us. But every one of us has the ability to contribute something of really vital importance to the work, and we need to pull together and each one of us sound our note. Because if we each sound our note, whatever our note is, it will create a music like the music of the spheres. And surely it will sound a note that will be beautiful to the world.
I think with that note, we can probably begin to summarize some of the ideals we have brought forth here. And maybe you might like to put together what you think in summary are some of the key points we have brought up in this discussion.
I think the word unity and cohesiveness and oneness keeps coming up. And it's really appropriate because I think that's probably one of the most fundamental principles of the Theosophical Society and its teaching, is that there is really only one thing. There's not the creation and that who did the creating. There's not humanity and, or there's not nature and humanity that's living in this nature. There is only the one thing. And if we can embody that in the way we live and in the way we do our work, the oneness of all life is that which binds us. Not only is an abstract idea, it's a fact, it's a reality. And we have to know it in our heart and share it with each other as a daily thing, a moment-to-moment thing. And I think this is the glue that holds us together, is knowing that this unity, this oneness, this basic fundamental teaching is really the most important thing that we have to share with the world. Not that that doesn't ensue and carry down and become a multiplicity, but this basic teaching is something that the world needs now more than ever because of its divisions.
And it's interesting that you move right away to that pole, and my mind goes right away to the other pole. To me, One of the crucial things is the importance of the individual to the work, and you said that in your comment on unity. But I feel as though we must reach into the lives of each member in some way, so that the joys of that member, the sufferings of that member, are all made to seem extremely important. Right. So that even at the physical level, this energy must move, so that we have new vitality at every level to accomplish what needs to be done. And that if we can help individuals to appreciate the fact that it's within the fabric of their own lives that theosophical research must go on, that this theosophical study, this process, is embodied in their own lives, and it's not something out there that has to be reached for, that has to be struggled with, but that moment by moment, it's something that they are engaging in with joy, even in the middle of their suffering. If we can bring that message home a little, that's what I feel can really be of use.
Well, so far we have just discussed generalities in trying to arrive at some new directions for our society. Part of it is outwards and part of it is inwards. We deliberately did this so that the details of this will come out in the group discussion. And I just would like to take this opportunity to make just a few statements before I turn this back to Roger, who will explain how we are going to break up into groups. And it is this, now we have a new administration and a new national president. I feel all of us should now rally behind Dorothy, our national president. All of us must help her make our society succeed in the world. So we must lay aside all our differences and all our disagreements. We must now come together to see to it the society which has been entrusted to serve humanity and the world, and particularly America, must now work together. So let us all make this resolve to help Dorothy and her new administration succeed in the years ahead.